Okay, man. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always.
That's just a great intro.
I heard nothing on my end.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to do it again.
I like it.
Hold on. You hear that?
No, I've got nothing on my end. I don't know what's going on.
There's no way. You have... That's going to carry through to the recording, and I just blasted everybody with it.
Good.
Perfect.
I can't wait to listen.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. All right, buddy. Well, let's do this. Yeah. Okay, so... Welcome, you bozos. This is Ballin' with Bozos. That's Brian. I'm Gavin. Been a while.
A little bit.
We're almost at the All-Star break. This is our second podcast. This is perfect. But yeah, things have gotten weird, I guess. But we're back on, and you know, that's our intro. You didn't hear it, but it was the Bay City Rollers Saturday night.
Oh, so it's like our theme song now.
I don't want to claim it because I know that that's like a classic. But I do feel like that's a good, like, fitting one because it's Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and it feels like Saturday night.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, Tuesdays at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. That's like my schedule now. It's pretty tits, man.
We are TGIT.
Mm-hmm. All right, bro. Well, let's get in this because I'm sure there's a lot to discuss. And
we got a few things to talk about.
Yeah, just a little bit. So last time, I just want to start really quick. I got a lot of shit last time.
You did.
I did. For bringing up Bleacher Report too much, I felt like I was... Well, first off, fuck you guys. That was a joke. Come on. And I thought it was funny, and I thought it might get a rise out of my guy, Brian, a.k.a. Endo. And, do you happen to hear this?
I can hear it.
Okay, hold on.
I can hear babies, but I can't hear the Bay City Rollers.
Okay, I think you can hear... Can you hear that?
No.
Okay, I got some jazz music playing in the background. No one wants to hear crying baby. She got her first tooth, so she's crying. But... Yeah, man. Whatever. We're gonna get through this. Damn it. Okay.
This is already an all timer.
No, this is me terrible. But anyway, let's hop to it. You have a lot to talk about your dubs. I followed a little bit. I've been reading some articles and whatnot, but you are more in tune with them, so I'm gonna let you jump off here.
All right. I will get this thing going. So mm-hmm. I'd like actually to start. With a quote from our old friend Don Nelson.
No way. What he...
Yeah.
Who interviewed him?
Yeah, this is a new one, actually. I just reading this now. He did an interview with Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
And so, the guy went to Maui to talk to Don Nelson like you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, he has a few quotes. So he said, about David Lee, if he's guarding someone on the block... He interjects immediately, saying, "You better go to him because Lee can't guard anybody." He's got a quote here on our old pal, Steven Jackson.
Okay.
"That guy will give it to you all day. He just had some mental issues. Played his ass off for me. You just never know when he was going to blow his mind." It's a weird one, but...
That's Dave, he blew all of our minds.
And this one's my favorite, about Mark Jackson.
Oh, God.
My favorite guy. He said, "Mark Jackson's a good guy. I thought it would hurt when Mike Malone left, but he's doing fine. He's got enough bullshit. That works as a coach." As he picks up his Chardonnay, he says, "You gotta be a bit of a bullshitter." And I'm gonna use that as an intro into my Mark Jackson rant of the evening.
Go.
So the other night, we lost to the Phoenix Suns.
Who are by the way, that's no shame in that, man. They're playing awesome.
Phoenix is pretty awesome this year, and I haven't really fully appreciated how much fun they are to watch, but they've done a good job.
Right.
Mark Mark Jackson was just going off after the game, though, and his quote was saying that the guys in the suits want to win more than the guys on the court.
I did read that.
And that set me off one. That is just... I mean, we know that he's a bullshitter, and all he does is talk. He likes to run his mouth.
Yeah.
But come on, guy.
Yeah, no. And
there's one sequence I want to point out, which will transition into stuff that I want to get into fully, but there's a play when we were down two with about 30 seconds left, and we went down, we missed our shot, we missed the possession, the Phoenix got the rebound with 22 seconds left.
Okay.
Everyone on the Warriors on the court goes back on defense. No word from the bench. Mind you, with 22 seconds left, down a possession, the shot clock's turned off.
Mm-hmm.
You have to foul.
Right.
Only person on the Warriors on the bench in a suit on the court that realized this, Draymond Green, sprinted from across the court to foul whoever it was with the ball, either Dragic or Bledsoe.
Right.
And I would say that means he's got a little bit more will to win than Coach Jackson and Coach Scalabrine do. But that, yeah. Maybe it's just me.
Nah, you know, I read that, and I thought it was a funny... I feel like he read that in, like, a book or something. Like, not the exact line, but, like, the motivational tactic. Like, I care, you don't. It's, like, something you use on, like, a little kid or something, you know? It doesn't... Right. It kind of felt like that, because, first off... It's a dumb thing to say. Secondly, he's a former player, so he knows very well that the players care, especially, like, the guys that they have. And then anytime you're siding with suits, man, that's just not a good thing.
Yeah, you play the player's card coach the whole time, and then all of a sudden you're the suit coach.
Yeah, no, the suits care. You don't want to be one of the suits, Bri. That's not what you do.
We know too many suits in our lives.
Yeah, dude. We don't want to deal with that. So, yeah, I thought that was a funny comment. I feel like that was like a motivational tactic. Isn't Iggy still out?
Tonight? Iggy's back tonight. Okay. He started tonight, but we're playing right now.
Okay. Now he's, but he's been out for a while.
He's been out since November 22nd.
Yeah. Okay.
And, John Dogg and I were at the game where he got hurt.
What did he do?
It was like a hamstring, I think. It looked like a groin when we were at the game because he was limping off holding his band region.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, J-Dog and I have been to two Warriors games this year. We went the opening night, we went the Clippers opening night, and we lost pretty bad. And then we went to go, we saw the Lakers a few weeks later. And the Warriors lost pretty bad there, too. So we haven't had it. And Iguodala got hurt. So we haven't had a good stretch of seeing the Warriors in person this last calendar year.
I wouldn't blame yourselves. I think that's just bad luck, man. I'd blame J-Dog. Let's blame J-Dog. John Dog.
And I'd like to point out that, so it's been 12 games that he's missed, Iguodala. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors 5-7 in those games. So.
Yeah,
oversimplistic analysis there, but it's true.
No, and actually, the one thing I did like read, I don't make a habit of reading a lot of Grantland. Just I don't know. It's just, they have a lot of stuff, you know. But I do like Jonathan Abrams. Is that his name?
I think so. I don't read much of him, but
he's actually very good at what he does. And he wrote a really good article about Iguodala, and it was all about like how his timing and going into Philly. And how he was underappreciated in Philly. But really what he's done is he's become... What he's trying to do is mold his game after being the next Scottie Pippen or something like that. His versatility and all that. And that he's finally in a place where he's appreciated. And so it's a classic, just one of those like super long things. So I don't even know entirely. I couldn't like summarize the whole thing because there were so many parts to it. But the gist of it was that he is just... a super efficient player or effective player, like no matter what he's doing, and you just have to appreciate that. And whereas like he got kind of shit on in Philly because he came in after Allen Iverson and he just didn't connect like Allen Iverson did, I guess. And then Denver was, you know, he was a little more appreciated, but now he's in Golden State where people love him. And he's been out, and I think it's fair, 5-7 without him, I don't think that's like a fluke or anything. I think with him back, he's too valuable, you know?
He's, yeah, it's a good point about him in Philadelphia, like, because he's, like, kind of miscast there as to be kind of, like, he was always the best player, I guess, on most of those teams, but, I mean, he's never going to be the Allen Iverson guy, like.
No, they wanted, like, a swag guy, you know, and he wasn't going to put up, he didn't have to put up 30, he could do what he did and play the game right, you know?
Right. He doesn't have, I mean, he doesn't have to score at all for the Warriors to be our second best player, you know, if not our best player.
Yeah, that's what I like about him, is that he can, that's like the gauge of any good player, is if they're not scoring, or if their jumper's not going, or whatever it is, if they can still, like, you can still tell they were in the game, and they impacted the game, then that's good. And he does it all the time. Every time I watch him, I feel, I know he's on the court, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's not like he disappears. He's kind of like, I was looking at the stats. I'm not trying to segue yet, because I know you have a lot more Warrior stuff, but I was trying to compare stats for Nick Batum and Andre Iguodala, because I would like someday for Nick Batum to be a kind of Andre Iguodala. So.
How did they compare? I imagine Batum's shooting numbers were a little bit better.
Yeah, they compare pretty well, because Batum's actually had a pretty good year where he has started getting, he's more involved, and like I said, he seems like it's kind of quiet, you know, you're like, oh, he's, granted, I haven't seen as many games as, like, some other people up in Portland or anything like that, but it seems like, he, even if it feels like he might be disappearing a little bit, he'll have an impact one way or another, and then at the end of the game, you're like, holy crap, he had, like, 9, 8, and 8, you know, like, something like that. So, I think he's averaging, like, right in line with Andre Iguodala for stats, but, I mean, Iggy's been out, and they had a really hard, like, the Warriors have had a pretty brutal schedule starting off. I was looking that up.
Yeah, we've played some tough teams, and so, like, that's another thing I want to talk about with the Warriors. It's like, it's been kind of, you know, we've been playing a lot of these tough teams with Iguodala out, but at the same time, we're kind of picking on the low-hanging fruit here and not doing well against the good teams.
Right.
Like, our only really bad loss on the schedule I can see is we lost the Bobcats.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bad one. But no. Then, like, all the rest of our losses were to good teams.
Right.
Which is fair, but at the same time, we're not coming around and beating the good teams. Like, we got a win against OKC. We're kind of a... Oh, us and OKC are kind of funny, because we beat them on that Iguodala last-second jumper.
Yep.
And then they beat us on Russ Westbrook hitting a three at the last second.
Oh my god. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Just, I love Russell Westbrook. We did beat Memphis recently, but they didn't have Marcus Gasol, so there's that. We did beat Dallas legitimately, so that's a nice win. But other than that, we don't have any good wins on our 13 wins this year.
What is your feeling on the depth now? Because even though I'm kind of saying, like, Iguodala is coming back and that's a big part of it, with him out, even though with a hard schedule, do you have any, like, what are your thoughts on, like, the rotation? Because you did lose, we talked about this before, you lost my man Jack, you lost my man Landry, which was a good move in both counts, but yeah, they're not there, and they were effective. So, like,
so, here's the thing. We got hit with a lot of injuries all at once, and individually, they don't sound bad. You kind of, like, laugh it off.
Okay.
On the surface, but they were all very important. Iguodala is the only one, obviously, that's like, oh yeah, Iguodala got hurt. That makes sense. Tony Douglas went down at the same time.
You have Tony Douglas?
Oh, we've got Tony Douglas.
How do I not know that?
He has been, like, strangely effective for the Warriors.
No, I'd be happy with him on the team. I mean,
and so, and the thing is like, why Jack thrived last year. Jerry Jack's obviously a better player. Well, at least last year was a better player than Tony Douglas is. You know, the Warriors don't really need, like, that true, the quote-unquote true point guard who's just going to come in and, like, distribute. Like, we just need a guy who can, like, handle the ball. Like, when we were watching the Lakers game in person, like, Iguodala went out because we didn't, Iguodala started, I think Curry missed that game, if I remember correctly. So Iguodala started at point guard.
he went out in that game, and we didn't have anyone who could just, like, dribble the ball up and create a shot for himself. Like, all the Warriors players are very dependent on getting the ball, obviously besides Curry.
Right.
Tony Douglas is, like, he's not a very, you know, good player, but at least he can go down and get a shot every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
He can play defense a little bit, so, I mean, just, like, on that rotation alone was big losing him. But the biggest one lately, and you'll appreciate and shed a tear with me on this, has been Jermaine O'Neal.
Dude, okay, so originally we were supposed to do this a week and a half ago, I guess? I don't know, something like that. And then I had a little conflict, so I couldn't do it. But you were talking about how you were going to be yapping about Jermaine O'Neal, so I kind of want to know what you were going to say.
He was awesome. He's been awesome this year for the Warriors.
In terms of, like, playing or leadership or...
The leadership thing is, like, I would say it's been a joke because that would take away from... He's actually been a really good leader, but it's kind of become a thing in the Bay Area of, like, he's just had these epic, like, halftime speeches and, like, post-game speeches, like, both in the locker room, which we haven't heard, and, like, on Bay Area TV and stuff, where he's just, like, going off, and, like, listening to him speak. It's like listening to what you would hope Mark Jackson would say.
Right.
Like, he'll say all the motivational stuff, but, like, coming from Jermaine O'Neal, Jermaine O'Neal is, like, more articulate than our head coach. Like,
yeah, listen, you gotta handle the basketball.
Play 48 minutes of defense.
You got to rebound. You got to rebound. You got to run up the court.
I think tonight, or it was actually Mark Jackson bobblehead night in Oakland. And the bobblehead's great because it's just Mark Jackson, like, with the blank expression pointing. But looking at Jermaine O'Neal, Bogut's been... So this year, like, I mean, he's playing minutes, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can complain there, but he's just been there. O'Neal's been, like, when he's played, like, we had a nice little stretch with him in there where he was just our fourth quarter center. Like,
right.
Like, we didn't even look to the bench. We didn't even look to Bogey. O'Neal could play defense and was getting his shot on offense. So he was awesome. So losing him, I don't know if he's out for the year, but he might – out for most of the year.
That would suck. Yeah, because when he went off, I remember reading about that where he went a little, like, the halftime thing or whatever, and no one was really exactly saying what he said, but they kind of alluded to it. I remember he was just saying, look, I didn't come back. Like, I could retire. Like, I don't need money.
Yeah.
Like, I came back here to win, you know? And so I was like, oh, good for you, Jermaine.
He's awesome. I wasn't thrilled on the signing, I guess you could say, but I didn't hate the signing originally, but, like, it was really one of just a really underrated, solid signing for the Warriors this year.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, like, you always wonder, like, what if with him a little bit, like, not a little bit, a lot of it for me, because I followed him a lot because he got drafted out of high school by the Blazers, and then they traded him. Right, is like no one wanted to trade him because they thought maybe he turned out to be good, and then he ended up being just, like, awesome in Indiana. And, like, that whole season, you know, the Malice in the Palace thing, like, you wonder, like, what would have happened with him, because he was, like, in his peak then. He got suspended for, like, 30 games for punching that dude in the face. And then, like... And what's that?
He looked like Turtle from Entourage.
Dude, that guy is the biggest dumbass. Like, I can't imagine. Unbelievable. Don't run at Jermaine O'Neal when there's a riot going on. You're going to get just clocked, knocked over, punched in the face, game over. But whatever. But yeah, he's one of those guys, like, I always wondered, so I was kind of curious how he would fit in here. I thought that he'd be a 12th man, like, kind of like a Juwan Howard on Miami or something like that. But I was surprised to see he was getting minutes and stuff.
Yeah, no, he was getting significant run. Meaningful minutes.
Man. Okay, so who steps in then?
We picked up Hilton Armstrong from the Santa Cruz Warriors to fill his place on the roster.
I'm okay with Hilton Armstrong. I remember him from UConn.
Yeah, I'd say that his era at UConn, I was watching a lot of Big East basketball, so I'm very familiar with his game.
Mm.
He's pretty good. But unfortunately, it means a lot more Maurice Spates, who's been kind of terrible this year for the Warriors.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that.
I know. I like Maurice Spates a lot, too. So I'm a little disappointed by that. What I hope, and it's not an ideal situation, but if with Iguodala back, we can actually allows us to play a lot of small ball.
Mm-hmm.
Which I, you know, it's almost a stigma around the Warriors, the aforementioned Don Nelson. But the thing is, with this Warriors team, is if we have, like, Iguodala on the court, like, he can take up a lot of the perimeter defensive slack,
mm-hmm.
and we can play some pretty crazy small ball with Curry and Clay and Harrison all out there on the court together.
Right. I like that. That works. So so quarter of the season's gone. What are your thoughts? Like, are you confident in the team? Do you think they're going to make a run in the playoffs? Early to say, but like, what's your gut? You think they're going to be like need to make a couple moves, or do you think that they have a team that they can go for it with?
All right. Well, let me just speak my piece on a few things, and maybe I'll lead to an answer.
Okay.
To that. The Warriors' problem is they turn the ball over too damn much.
Mm-hmm.
We are, as a team, 29th in the NBA in turnover percentage. So that's second to last, if you want me to say it that way.
But what, I don't know what that is. What's turnover percentage? Like, how many times, like, is that exactly what it sounds like? How many, percentage-wise, per possession, like, how many often they turn over the ball?
Exactly. Percentage of possessions that end in a turnover.
You're such a stat head, Brian. You're such a stat head, but you don't know what it's like to play on the basketball court. You're not an old dog.
Mark Jackson would hate me so much.
Oh, my God. You don't know how to hit a curveball. You can tell me about warp and whatnot, but you don't know what it sounds like when you hit a curveball.
Oh, God. I've never seen that movie, but I kind of want to see it just to get angry.
Brian, I only brought that up just to see if you get angry without ever seeing the movie.
I want to root for Matthew Lillard so hard.
It's so good. The entire movie is based on this guy who's going blind. Hold on. So I'm sorry, this is a tangent, but Clint Eastwood's going blind. This is a movie called Trouble with the Curve for anyone who hasn't picked up on this yet. So Clint Eastwood's going blind, and he's an old dog scout, and he's getting pushed out by these young guns who use their computers, and he's going blind, but he's getting pushed out, and at the end of the movie, the number one pick, who he didn't want to get because he's a big jerk, and he just crushes the ball, though, he hits a fastball home run, and then they go, hold on, let's throw him some curveballs in batting practice, and he starts whiffing on all of them. Somehow, advanced metrics missed on this, that he can't hit a curveball.
And that's how it works. The stat heads just don't, they have trouble with the curve.
Yeah, and then Clint Eastwood comes in and he says something horribly racist, probably, and then he goes, that's what we call trouble with the curve.
Cue credits.
Yep, that was good. He didn't say anything racist, actually. I was kind of mixing movies there.
So wait, so Pedro Serrano was the number one draft pick in this baseball movie?
In this scenario, Pedro Serrano was the number one draft pick, and he was nobody picked up on the fact that he couldn't hit a curveball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brilliant screenwriting.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But anyway, I apologize to Clint Eastwood on that because I mixed up my movies. I was thinking of his like offensive like Gran Torino and mixing that up with his Trouble with the Curve. I mix up my Clint Eastwood. Sorry.
No, the last 10 years they've all been the same.
Okay. All right. So anyway.
Okay. Warriors turn the ball over too damn much.
Mm-hmm.
Curry is the number one culprit. He is awesome, but he's always making his awesomeness has always come from making up from his own mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
His turnover rate is in the Jeff Teague, Jameer Nelson area. That's kind of shows you what kind of players are turning the ball over as often as he is.
Okay.
So that's not good.
No.
It was number one, actually. I looked this up before this. Players who have at least 5 assists per game.
Okay.
The lowest turnover percentage, Damian Lillard.
Oh! Not too shabby.
So that's the number one problem with the Warriors. The number two problem is we don't play Draymond Green enough.
Yeah, you love him.
Draymond Green is awesome.
Is he just like, I saw he's listed, so he's a small forward, but he's like a big boy.
Yeah, he's kind of he's been guarding anywhere from shooting guard to small forward to power forward.
Okay.
He's, without minus Iguodala, the best defensive player that we've got on the team. According to 82games.com, him and Iguodala are both the best, rated as the best defensive players on the team in terms of points allowed while they're on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrison Barnes is stealing a lot of his minutes, and Klay Thompson's actually stealing a lot of his minutes, so I'd like to see that change. So, to answer your question about the outlook for the Warriors, if Curry can just not throw his dumbass one-handed passes across court, if Iguodala can stay healthy, Draymond gets more run, and Bogut scores more than one field goal per game, then I think we could do some things. We just need to, I don't know, like, it's all there. It just needs to come together.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. I mean, we match, like, I hate saying, like, we match up well and not well against, but we obviously don't match up well against Memphis, but for some reason we do against Oklahoma City.
Yeah, no, it's dumb, because, I mean, Phoenix is, like, without the losses to Phoenix, Portland would be 20-2. It's crazy.
Yeah, that in itself is bananas.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's insane. So, I mean, there's just some teams that they match up well. And, you got to look back, even, like, the Blazers, like, they, for some reason, matched up well with San Antonio the last couple of years. They were terrible, but for some reason they'd win against San Antonio. Granted, there was times where San Antonio was probably sitting some people. Didn't matter. But it also, like, on the nights that they did all play, they just were able to match up well. So.
All right. So that's basically my piece on the Warriors.
Cool.
Yeah. I want to hear about the Blazers.
Okay, so I'm going to walk you through the past couple months, because we haven't talked in a while about this. Going into the season, I was not thrilled. I was convinced that they were going to trade LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
I was not convinced on Mo Williams. I thought Mo Williams was going to be a guy that they would be serviceable and pretty good, and that he would probably get thrown into some multi-team trade involving LaMarcus Aldridge. Bottom line is I was convinced that they were going to try it. They were talking about making the playoffs just to kind of say it, you know, and then when they didn't play well, they were just going to blow it up. And I was wrong. So at first what happened, the first time I noticed this was they were winning a couple games, and you're kind of like, okay, well, just a couple of games. Then they went on the road. They were destroying Toronto, who's not a good team. Toronto came back and forced overtime. And my first thought when I was following it online was like, well, that's over. Like, Blazers are going to lose. That's a game they lose, you know? But then they won. And so that's not anything like crazy, but I was kind of thinking to myself, whoa, they won. That's pretty cool. And then all of a sudden they just start winning these games, and people are saying, yeah, but it's a weak schedule. But then I looked at it, and they were 8-2 on the road at the time that I looked at it. And I was like, it doesn't matter that they're not good teams. These are normally games they would lose. And so they have somehow become a good road team. And then they started beating Indiana. They beat OKC. And they've just, the biggest, what I really thought they were for real actually was when they beat the Warriors in Oakland.
Okay, I was going to say, I was not going to say anything about that, because I watched the fourth quarter of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys went into Oakland, and you guys were down 8 points maybe going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
As one, running away with that game. It wasn't even close by the end.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's crazy too, because a lot of people are knocking the fact that they shoot too many threes, and they do shoot a lot of threes. But, I mean, the past couple of years, everyone's been complaining that they don't have three-point shooters. So it's like, I don't care that they shoot threes, because, one, they're hitting them. And, secondly, if you watch their offense, it's free-flowing. There's a lot of movement going on. And it's not like if they're standing around playing one-on-one and jacking up a three. It's just that a lot of times the open shot is a three. in the...
I'm going to interject here and point out the Blazers are second in the NBA in three-point field goal percentage.
Ooh.
Behind the Warriors.
Oh.
No big deal. The Blazers are sixth in the NBA in effective field goal percentage, which accounts for threes being worth more than twos.
Okay.
So sixth there. But the most important thing is the Blazers are number one in offensive rating. So they average 113.8 points per 100 possessions, first in the NBA.
No, they're playing well. And, like, I was joking about some of the moves that they made, like putting Joel Freeland in over Myers Leonard and stuff like that. But the guys that they have playing are just... What's that?
It still boggles my mind that Joel Freeland is an active rotation player on a 21-4 team or whatever your guys' record is.
Yeah, Joel Freeland, he doesn't, like, if you look at his box scores, he never does all that much, but he's, like, really effective, and people, like, they all stand up for each other. Like he was the one who got tangled up with Bogey in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one who got, so an Englishman and or Brit and an Aussie got into a fight, so that was good.
Deep-rooted hate in that fight.
Yeah, I know. So, like, yeah, it was, but yeah, it's funny because, like, he's got, like, a little more edge to him, and I feel like, because he's a little bit older, I said before I think that he was in the Oden draft. He actually was in the Brandon Roy draft with LaMarcus Aldridge, and so he's been overseas for so long, and he's finally getting his shot, and rather than try and be something that just won't work, you know, he's just embraced this kind of just bruiser role that they kind of feel like they need. So, I'm cool with it. I like everyone who's playing. Mo Williams can make some plays where just, I'm not sure what he's doing, but I take those because overall he's been great. And I'm just talking about the bench guys right now because the starting five I love all those guys, and I even like Robin Lopez, like how he's playing. So I don't know. I'm enjoying it while I can because they can't sustain being the number one team in the league because right now they are.
Yeah, well, I mean, and OKC's right on their heels, and San Antonio's right there, too, and those guys are obviously not going anywhere.
I'm pumped, though, because I really do think that they have a good team, and I think that they've built something where they can sustain it a little more. I think they settle in a little bit. I don't think they've had an easy, as much as I just said that they've won on the road, it doesn't matter, they have an easy schedule, they did have an easy schedule. So there's going to be some balancing out, but they had like an awesome start. It's going to help them get into the playoffs. Early position for it, and I kind of feel like on the one hand, like they'll drop a little bit, but I do think that they play entertaining basketball. They're fun to watch, so I'm good with that.
I'm pretty shocked by. I mean, you guys obviously have a good starting five and a few nice bench players, but I didn't think that it was going to come together like this. So I have two questions in regard to that point.
Okay.
I see that Batum, Lillard, LaMarcus are all in the top 12 of total minutes played.
Okay.
In the season.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question, or part one, of part A is, are you worried about that? And part B is, Terry Stotts?
Yeah, who, LaMarcus, Batum, and Lillard?
They're 10th and 12th in minutes played, total minutes played.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that just because of the long season. But Terry Stotts?
Yeah. Terry Stotts.
He's got a good offense and he's got things going pretty well. I mean, I would like to see Thomas Robinson get a little more playing time. More than anything, just get LaMarcus some rest. But, I mean, I would have a hard time not playing Aldridge right now. He's playing out of his mind.
He's doing okay.
Yeah. No, he's... it's crazy because he's been in Portland for so long. For the first time, he's getting, like, major love, you know? So he's always been kind of like the second banana kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
And now everyone... It's second or third, really. And so everyone now is just, like, in love with him. So it'd be hard not to play him because he's playing so well, but... I'd like to see them not play as many minutes, but I get it. So, and also, I'm curious to see what happens. I guess the two things for the bench players. One, I want to see Thomas Robinson get more playing time. Second, I'm curious to see what happens when CJ McCollum comes back.
Okay, I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, because that's going to be 10 deep. I really like C.J. McCollum's game if he's healthy. And then also they got Mo Williams. I mean, I feel like they have some good pieces there. And I also think that playing LaMarcus a lot, if... I don't know. Like, he's the biggest concern I have in playing a lot, just because he's a big guy and he's had a few years, you know?
Yeah.
But they also are able... they don't have to rely on him. So, like, there are games... Like, if they're single-covering him, they're going in the post. If they start double-triple-teaming him, they can kick it out for the three and swing the ball. So, I mean... I guess I'm not as nervous as I was last year, just because I know that there's some people on the bench, and then also seeing how well they play together, I kind of feel like they're doing okay.
So, I just want to point out on 82games.com... Their on-off stats.
Mm.
Joel Freeland's rated as the best bench player. You guys got no big deal.
No, he's... Like, it's funny, because he's just, like, one of those guys. Like, I have only been able to watch, like, a couple games just because of my TV sitch. But he's an effective player. I mean, he just does what he's supposed to do. And I think, if nothing else, I mean, we talked about this a little bit before... That was like a big message to Myers Leonard. It's like, this is all you have to do, and you'll play. And you're bigger and stronger and better than Joel Freeland, you know?
Just be better than this guy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now he's just limited to being the guy doing like karate kicks on the bench when they hit a three. So, but yeah, no, he's a good player, and let me rephrase that. He's a good player in the right situation.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Yeah, so I like it. I'm really pumped. I'm not going to go over the top. At first, I was really skeptical. And they started winning, and I was still skeptical. And then they won a couple games I didn't think they'd win, and I thought, huh. And they started winning games I was just shocked about, and I thought, this has got to stop at some point. And now they're at a point where I really feel like they've really proved themselves. So where that goes from here, I don't know. But
the third of the season in, and they have a... 840 winning percentage, so...
It's insane. I just don't get it.
Decent start to the year.
Yeah, and then on top of that, like we were just talking about, two of those losses were to Phoenix.
That's bananas.
It's so funny, because when on the opening game of the season, they lost to Phoenix. Yeah. And I was like, oh, great, here we go. And Miles Plumlee just destroyed them. I went back to Portland, and some of my buddies were just like... I was asking about it, and they just said, he looked like Shaq. They were, like, pissed. They were, like, they made Miles Plumlee look like Shaq, you know?
I'm sending a goofy tweet to you about not knowing which Plumlee brother it was that beat
yeah.
the Blazer.
But, yeah, then, you know, then all of a sudden I look at Miles Plumlee's numbers, he's averaging, like, 10 and 10.
That's weird. I don't get that at all.
I don't either.
He's older too, right?
What's that?
He's the older Plumlee? The oldest?
Yeah, he's the older Plumlee. Not the,
He was terrible at Duke.
Yeah. Like, the other Plumlee was at least, like, he was, like, lanky and had, like, athleticism, you know?
Yeah, I don't even think he's playing. I don't know. Maybe he's on some crappy East team.
Dude, he's on Brooklyn.
Oh, stand up.
Stand up, Brooklyn. You got Mason Plumlee.
The Atlantic Division. What an abomination.
The whole East is abomination. Did you see what the Blazers actually tweeted out?
No.
Okay, their official Twitter account, the Portland Trail Blazers, they tweeted out... hey, is it too late to apply to be in the Eastern Conference? Asking for a friend.
Jesus.
And then the Phoenix Suns official account responded, are you trying to steal our idea? Are you trying to get rid of us already?
You guys got some,
yeah. And then
turns running these, Twitter accounts for the official team.
Yeah, but then Portland's guy just wrote back, like, well played, because you can't come back on that. Phoenix kind of burned him. I wouldn't have been, if it was just the Portland one, I would have been like, that's kind of, it's funny, but kind of weird, you know, kind of weak. So it was a kind of a blessing that Phoenix got in on that too, because it made it a little more funny.
Made it kind of fun.
Yeah.
According to Basketball Reference, their simple rating system, the Eastern Conference has only two teams who are better than league average right now. And it's Indiana and Miami, obviously.
Yeah, no, those two teams, though, like, oh, man.
And Indiana can compete and beat Miami. Like, look at that Roy Hibbert's been playing this year.
Yeah. Paul George is out of his mind.
What? Who is that guy? He's just like, he's insane right now.
Yeah, he was like the 15th pick in the draft. So that's just something to consider. Is that he was? Was he went to Fresno State. What was that? Listeners. Huh?
He went to Fresno State. All the Fresno listeners are yelling that right now.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
I thought he went to New Mexico. To all of our Fresno listeners.
Ooh, shots fired.
Oh, same thing, right? Ish.
Whatever. Lots of meth in both places.
Oh my god, I guess I mix them up just because I think they have the same school colors or something.
Well, Danny Granger went to New Mexico.
Oh, okay, that's it. All right, thank you. But yeah, Paul George, like, out of his mind. Like, I just, maybe he wasn't 15th, but he was like, he was not a top pick.
Wasn't. But he was one of, like, Larry Bird's guys. Like, Larry Bird had
the eyes.
Run of draft picks.
Yeah. No, that guy's just insane. Like, he's going to be so good. LaMarcus Aldridge was actually talking about, like, how he's... Because he's, like, got voted so far in the All-Star voting. He's number 8 on the bigs, you know? And so he was saying, like, I'm not going to get voted in because of playing up here, you know? And he said playing up here, and then he said that he's not flashy. But Paul George proves that you can play in a market that isn't, like, all flashy, you know, and you can get, like, recognition.
Totally.
Like, because he's number 2, I think, in the votes in the East. Or some, I don't know what he is, but he's up there. He's being voted into the starting lineup. It's just, but where LaMarcus is right is that Paul George can pull up from anywhere in the court and potentially make it and dunk out of his mind. LaMarcus has more of kind of like a fadeaway post-up game, which actually I've grown to like.
I was gonna say, for some reason, Paul George is making being a defensive player like a cool thing.
Oh man, that's the best way to be, man.
You want to play that D? You gotta be cool.
You gotta be cool to play that D.
He's the Miles Davis of D.
Nice. All right, where are we at? Oh, Gate, we're at 42 minutes.
Come on. That's cool. All right. I got a couple.
Go.
Last points here. LeBron James is more awesome than everyone.
Yep.
He's averaging the lowest amount of field goal attempts per game in his entire career right now.
Yeah.
And he's shooting 60% from the field.
Yeah.
Shooting 41.4% from three.
Yeah.
He's insane.
No,
he's shooting less threes, than he's ever shot in his career. And he's percentage has gone up. He's better than everyone at everything.
Yeah, he's like he could like be like a 40-50-90 percentage kind of guy.
He could be a 60-40-90 kind of guy.
Man, he's insane. That's true. Yeah. No, he's a nut. Like he's way too good.
But
huh?
Only he could shoot free throws, he'd be up there.
Yeah, right? Someday.
Like Goober.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's legit. Like, well, nice. Okay, I'm going to stop talking right now. All right, you go.
What else was I going to say? I don't really have, actually. That was about it.
Okay, he's legit. We love him.
I still think they're going to win the title.
Yeah. I mean,
there's nothing I've seen that's going to steer me away from that. They're going to win their third one this year.
Yeah, as Chris Webber says, the keys to Miami winning the game, LeBron get on the bus, LeBron get off the bus, LeBron show up to the game, something like that.
That was the greatest moment of the NBA season, and it probably will, when the season's over, be the greatest moment of the year. Chris Webber's, we need the NBA needs more Chris Webber on TV. The guy is great.
No, he's like my favorite. No, even if he's doing like color commentating, or if he's in the studio, whatever he's doing, I always like it.
And the worst thing, I can't stand Shaq. He's not funny. He's so derivative. And the worst part about TNT hiring Shaq is it took away airtime from Chris Webber.
Yeah, it took away from that, and then also, like, Shaq tries to jump in to be funny, and it just kills the whole momentum.
He's not funny. He can't roll with it.
Like Charles Barkley will say something, and he'll be like, "What about you?" And everyone's like, "Huh?" Uh-huh. And he just, like, and he tries to, like, make a funny face, and everyone's like, "Well, what the fuck are you talking about?" No one knows.
No one knows.
I can relate. Or you can relate, actually, because it's me. I'm the Shaq of this group.
The Knicks suck, and it's funny. I like
that. No, I love how they lost. Was it last night?
Yeah.
That was like, if you're listening and you didn't see this, most likely if you're listening to this stunning podcast about basketball, you probably know what happened the Knicks last night, but it was hilarious. So just look it up. It's so good. I love the shot that Carmelo ended up getting. Was he's just like trying to like do some like psych out one on one moves, and he ends up just taking a running 3-point shot.
His psych out one on one moves 35 feet from the basket.
That's so amazing. Stupid. This in 3 timeouts. Both those New York teams. Like I think Brooklyn might be playing better now, but it's just hilarious what's happening with. I can't believe it.
Brooklyn at least has a chance to be good if Darren Williams and Brooke Lopez are ever healthy together.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach is worse than New York's coach.
Yeah, Jason Kidd. Although, Jason Kidd.
Oh my God, though.
I just love that whole scenario is a disaster with him and Lawrence Frank. The whole franchise is a disaster.
Meanwhile, their owner is off in Russia riding jet skis.
Yeah, doing jumps on jet skis.
Every Russian model.
This is what we do in Russia. We jump jet skis for sport. I'm mixing all of my accents up. Every one of my accents is mixing up, and I can't figure out. It's so bad. I'm done. I can't believe this.
I like it. One last thing was Prokhorov's, we win title within 5 years. I think their 5 years are coming up here. This is like
this year is 4. It. Plus, so. This is it, bro. This is when they win.
All right, they're going to win the title then. Change my prediction.
It's going to be so good. It's going to be like Major League 2, man. That's what's going to happen. It's like Major League 2 because, you know, Jason Kidd is like Tom Berenger.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Did I already make that joke?
We made other Major League jokes about Pedro Serrano.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. I love making Major League jokes, especially if they're Major League 2 jokes. Because, you know, then, like, Darren Williams is, like, the new Ricky Vaughn. He's, like, all... He's, like, forgotten who he is, you know, and, like, what got him there in the first place. He's all too pretty boy and, like, doesn't... He has the potential, but he's just, like... He's a shell of what he once was. And Tom Berenger's all like, well, I'm going to take this team over because I know what it's all about. And then, you know what happens? Then in the end... Darren Williams is all like, I remember who I am, and all the fans love him again.
And then Paul Pierce is Omar Epps as Willie Mays Hayes because mm-hmm. he was Wesley Snipes as Willie Mays Hayes in Boston, but since he changed teams, he got younger, he got to get back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Done.
And Kevin Garnett is the stereotypical, like, Japanese guy.
Yes. Because, of course.
Yeah, that's just what it is.
That's it.
Oh, buddy. All right. Well, let's sign off here, shall we? We got to do another one of these soon. Mm-hmm. And sorry for the scheduling here. As I said, my clocks are all messed up now internally. Oh, buddy. All right, you ready? I'm going to sign us off to the Bay City Rollers.
Hit it.
All right, dude. See ya.
Later.
Can you hear it yet?
Can't hear it. I have no idea why.
I really hope it's actually playing. That'd be really shitty. It's a great song.